you please take your Bibles at this time and turn to the book of Acts. We're in Acts chapter 9, verse 31. That's on page 1088 in your pew Bibles. And that's the verse we're going to start with. We'll be covering a number of other verses throughout the message today. There is an outline in your bulletin, and I'd encourage you to take that out. You can follow along and either jot down some notes as you go, but it'll also help you to keep track of the other verses and passages we'll be looking at. I want to talk to you about encouragement this morning, and specifically, encouragement by the Holy Spirit. Encouragement by the Holy Spirit. So we're in Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Please stand with me now for the reading of God's Word. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened, and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. This is the Word of God. Let us pray. Well, Holy Spirit, we are going to be talking about you today, and so we ask that you would also speak to us. This is your word that you've inspired for us. Speak to us now. Help us to receive the encouragement that we need from your word today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Earlier this week, I was playing tennis with my son, Ramon. He was down visiting from North Carolina. And we were out there. Boy, it was not really late afternoon. You know, it wasn't right high noon, but it was hot out. It was hot out. We were having a good time. And I used to love playing in the heat, but something must be happening each year. I don't know what that could be. But, you know, that sun was beating down. It was brutal. I mean, it was brutal. And I just felt myself slowing down. And then I was just at the point where I said, I just can't do this anymore. I just wanted to keep playing. I was just about to tell, you know, Ramon, we got to quit. You know, I can't go on. Then all of a sudden, something happened. A little breeze kicked up in the air. It's like, whoo, give me a little bit more of that. And it just lifted my spirits, and it just brought that cool down. We were able to keep playing, and that breeze kept on coming. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Holy Spirit is like that, isn't he? Life can get tough sometimes. It can be brutal. It can sap your energy and make you want to quit. Then the Holy Spirit comes, and just like a breeze, he gives you the encouragement that you need to keep on going. And in light of that, I've been really struck by this verse in Acts over the years, which speaks about being encouraged by the Holy Spirit. And we find this verse in Acts chapter 9. You go back a couple chapters to Acts chapter 7, and you can see the church had been going through a difficult time. In Acts chapter 7, that's when Stephen was the first martyr of the church, was stoned to death. And after that, a great persecution broke out. And so the church had really been under persecution. And this had gone on for some time. But now we read in Acts 9:31, the church was enjoying a time of peace, a period of peace during which it was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. So I want us to spend some time this morning just reflecting on just that one phrase, encouraged by the Holy Spirit. We're going to answer three questions. What does it mean to be encouraged by the Holy Spirit? How does the Holy Spirit encourage us? How does he do that? And number three, what are the results when we are encouraged by God's Holy Spirit? But before we get to those three questions, first we need to clarify something else, something about the Holy Spirit himself. And that is simply this. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. It's one of the first things we need to learn about the Holy Spirit. He's not some type of cloud or force or influence that God sends into the world, but he is a person. God is one God, right? But three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, we would never think of God the Father or God the Son is some type of impersonal force, but we sometimes make that mistake with the Holy Spirit, don't we? And yet the Holy Spirit is just as much a person as God the Father is, and as Jesus is God the Son. We tend to relate the word person with a body, don't we? Mostly because most of the persons we know have bodies, okay? So we kind of do that. Person, body. Now, the Holy Spirit, of course, does not have a body. We know that. And so sometimes we have trouble thinking about him as a person. But think with me for a moment. God the Father also does not have a body. The Bible tells us that God is spirit. He's not flesh. God the Father doesn't have a body, but we know that he's a person. How about Jesus? Jesus never had a body. He did not have a body until he was born into this world as a human being. But we never think of Jesus not being a person. God is spirit, but he is still a person. In fact, he is three persons: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so this is important when we think about encouragement from the Holy Spirit. We need to know that the Holy Spirit is a person, because there is a huge difference between being encouraged by a person and being encouraged by something that is not a person, something impersonal. For example, we can be encouraged by our circumstances, right? Or we can be encouraged by something that we read or something that we see. We can even be encouraged by the weather, right? Yesterday it was cloudy and overcast and raining and gloomy, and we woke up this morning, the sun is shining, and for a lot of us that just lifts our spirits, right? But it's impersonal. It's completely different from being encouraged by another person. And when a person reaches out and encourages us, there's something that's just much more, I'll use the word, personal, right? That's what it is. It's personal. It touches us very deeply, because when a person encourages us, there is intention and there is relationship. I think of Jonathan in the Old Testament. We read about him earlier in the service. Jonathan went to David in the desert when David was on the run from Saul. And what did Jonathan do? He helped David find strength in God. I love that phrase. He encouraged him. It was personal. He went out intention. There's relationship. He helped him to find strength in God. I think about Barnabas in the New Testament. Barnabas' name, that was actually his nickname. It was a nickname which meant son of encouragement. In other words, one who encourages. Whenever you see Barnabas in the New Testament, you know what he's doing? He's encouraging people. It's what he does. Barnabas encouraged the church at Antioch, and then he went looking for Saul in Tarsus, Saul who later became Paul, and he brought him back to Antioch. He encouraged him as well. When the Holy Spirit encourages you, he is personal. There is intention. There is relationship. The person of the Holy Spirit reaches out to you as a person, and he encourages you as a person. And that is pretty awesome. So that's the first thing we need to clarify. The Holy Spirit is a person. Now let's take a look at our three questions. Number one, what does it mean to be encouraged by the Holy Spirit? What does that mean to be encouraged by the Holy Spirit? Well, the word that's translated encouraged here in Acts 9:31, the Greek word here is the word paraklesis. It's a word that can be translated as exhortation, comfort, or encouragement. But what the word literally means, it literally means to be called along to one side. To be called to one side. It is the picture of someone coming alongside you to give you help, to give you comfort, encouragement, and strength. Now, there's a beautiful illustration of what this word encouragement means. It's a story that takes place back at the 1992 Summer Olympics, Barcelona, Spain. There's a British runner, Derek Redmond, who is competing in the 400-meter race. He already held the British national record in this event. And he was going to run it in the previous Olympics 4 years before. And when he was going to run it then, 10 minutes before the race, he tore his Achilles tendon. And, you know, so he'd been training all that time for that. Now he had to wait a whole other 4 years, and now he's finally going to be competing in this race. It was the semifinal heat. You know, so to be able to compete, to be able to be in the finals, and the race is on, and he's running. He's way ahead of everybody. There's only about 150, 175 meters to go, and he's just booking, and all of a sudden his right hamstring pops on him, and down he goes. And he's just lying on the track in pain. All the other runners just run by him. They cross the finish line in seconds. You know, these races don't take very long. So he's just riding there in pain, and he gets up, and he starts hobbling towards the finish line. Everybody's just watching him, and he's stumbling. It doesn't look like he's going to make it. Suddenly, his dad, who's been watching from the stands, his dad gets out of his seat, hops over the wall into the track, runs around the security guards, comes along to his son, puts his arm around him, and together, as 65,000 people in the stadium are just clapping and cheering and going wild, father and son cross the finish line together. Derek Redmond did not win his Olympic medal that day, but with the help of his father, he finished the race. And that is such a beautiful picture of what this word encouragement here means in Acts 9:31. What does it mean to be encouraged by the Holy Spirit? First of all, it means that the Holy Spirit comes alongside you. He comes alongside you to help. He draws close to you, and he gives you personal encouragement when you are hurting. In the Gospel of John, Jesus used a related form of this word. He used a related form as a name for the Holy Spirit. Jesus said this in John 14:16. He said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." Now, the word that's translated counselor there in John 14, it's related to that earlier word we looked at. Here's the Greek word parakletos. What does it mean? It's the noun form of it. It means a helper, a comforter, an encourager, an advocate. And so this is one of the actual names of the Holy Spirit in Scripture. In other words, the Holy Spirit helps you and encourages you in your life. Why? Because that is who he is. That is his nature, to encourage and to help. He is the counselor. He is the comforter. He is the one who gives encouragement and hope. What does it mean to be encouraged by the Holy Spirit? First of all, it means that the Holy Spirit comes alongside you, right? He comes alongside you to help. Secondly, it means that the Holy Spirit dwells within you. Now let's take a look at the next verse, John 14:17, what Jesus says here. Jesus says, "The world cannot accept him," cannot accept the Holy Spirit, "because it neither sees him nor knows him. But," says Jesus, "you know him, for he lives with you and he will be in you." In other words, if you know Christ as your Savior this morning, the Holy Spirit not only comes alongside you to help, but he also dwells within you. And this is one of the most amazing things that Jesus ever taught, that when you come to know Christ, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God comes, he actually comes to live within you through the Holy Spirit. Now, your family and your friends cannot always be there to encourage you when you need it. I know many times they would like to be, but as human beings, we're limited, aren't we? Sometimes we're separated by distance. Sometimes we're separated by emotions. Sometimes we're separated by sin or lack of forgiveness. But when you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit is always there to help and encourage you. There's no place you can go that the Holy Spirit cannot help you, because he lives within you. But notice what Jesus also said in this verse, that this encouragement by the Holy Spirit is only for those who know and accept God, right? That's what he said. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. The world cannot accept the Holy Spirit because it doesn't know the Holy Spirit, doesn't know God, doesn't know Jesus. But Jesus says, but you know him. And when you know him, he lives with you and he will be in you. So the Holy Spirit comes alongside you to help. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. And then thirdly, what does it mean to be encouraged by the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit will never leave you. Did you catch that back in verse 16? We'll go back to John 14:16 again now. Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever." In other words, God doesn't just give you the Holy Spirit and then take the Holy Spirit back, and then give you the Holy Spirit, take the Holy Spirit back. Doesn't mean when all of a sudden, if you've sinned, God says, "Oh, no Holy Spirit for you today." Doesn't work that way. God has given you his Holy Spirit to be with you forever. No matter where you go, the Holy Spirit is there with you. No matter the time or the circumstance, he will never leave you. He will always come alongside to help you, because that is who he is. That is his name. He is the counselor. He is the comforter. He is the encouraging one. So let's move to our next question now. How does the Holy Spirit encourage you? We've seen what it means for the Holy Spirit to encourage you, but how does he do that? How does the Holy Spirit encourage you? We're going to look at five ways now from the Bible that the Holy Spirit encourages you when you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ. Number one, he teaches you God's truth. He teaches you God's truth. Look at John 14, 26. Jesus said, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you." Now, this verse had a very special application for Jesus' disciples, the apostles whom he first spoke it to. They were the ones who were going to write down Jesus' teachings for us in the New Testament. So when Jesus was speaking to them, he was saying, the Holy Spirit's going to remind you of everything I've said so you can write it down so we will have a New Testament. That's what he's saying to them. But there's a secondary application for us as believers. Because as believers, the Holy Spirit also teaches us from God's Word. Every time you open your Bible, you should pray, Holy Spirit, teach us. Teach me from your Word today. Teach me. What did we pray at the beginning of the sermon today? We said, Holy Spirit, teach us from your Word. We always pray that. Why? Because the Holy Spirit teaches you God's truth. This world's going to tell you a lot of lies. It's going to tell you all sorts of things. It's going to tell you that God's forgotten you. It's going to tell you God doesn't care about you. It's going to tell you all sorts of things. It's going to beat you down and drag you down in life. How does the Holy Spirit encourage you? Number one, he teaches you God's truth. And then you hold to God's truth and his promises. That's going to encourage you and help you to move forward. Secondly, he gives you God's peace. Look at John 14, 27 now. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." This is such a beautiful promise. There's no peace so beautiful, so restful, so comforting as the peace that Christ gives us through the Holy Spirit. A lot of times we go through difficulties in life, and there's no peace that the world can offer us. And yet when you go to God, and you look to him through the Holy Spirit gives you this beautiful peace, the peace of Jesus Christ. And you say, well, that must be coming from God because there's no way I should be feeling peace right now in the middle of this situation, and yet you do. And you know that God is there with you, and you know that he is for you. The Holy Spirit encourages you by giving you God's peace. Thirdly, he fills you with God's love. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says this, that God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us. Now, the word that's translated poured out there, it doesn't mean just to sprinkle a little bit here or sprinkle a little bit there. It's a beautiful word. It's a word that means to pour out liberally, generously. It's like a fountain just gushing forth and spilling all over the place. God doesn't just put a little bit of his love into your hearts through the Holy Spirit. No, God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And that's another way that the Holy Spirit encourages us. That's how he does it. He fills your heart with God's wonderful love. When everything else, once again, is going wrong and going down, you just know through the Holy Spirit God loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He will never forsake you. A fourth way that the Holy Spirit encourages you is by assuring you that God is your Father. We find this in Romans chapter 8, verses 15 to 17, where Paul writes, "You received the spirit of sonship." He's talking about the Holy Spirit there, the spirit of sonship. "And by him," by the Holy Spirit, "we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. When you put your faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes inside and he testifies with your spirit that you have now been adopted into God's own family. It's through the Holy Spirit that you have the confidence now to address God as Abba, Father. Not only that, if you are one of God's children, that also means that you are one of God's heirs. You are an heir of God and a co-heir with Christ. That means that you will inherit God's promise of eternal life and that you will share in God's glory. Now, if that doesn't encourage you, I don't know what else is going to do it, folks. This is beautiful what God does for us. A lot of times when we're suffering, when we're hurting, that's when we think maybe God's forgotten me. Maybe God doesn't care about me anymore. But that's not what Paul says here in Romans 8. He says, if we share in Christ's sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Jesus also suffered. That didn't mean he wasn't God's son anymore. He was complete, always God's son. And so even when we suffer, it doesn't mean that God's not our father anymore. Once you're adopted into his family, always adopted into his family. And so the Holy Spirit assures you, even in the difficult times, that God is your father. And if you've shared with Christ in his suffering, you will also share with Christ in his glory. And you will inherit the promises of God through Jesus Christ, all because God is your heavenly Father. It's the Holy Spirit who assures you of that in your heart. And then fifthly, the Holy Spirit gives gifts of encouragement. The Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts. Every person who puts their faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes inside, not only does all these wonderful things, forgives you of your sin, cleans you out, adopts you into God's family, makes you born again, all of that, he also brings with him spiritual gifts. And every believer has one or more spiritual gifts by which they can serve the body of Christ and bring glory to God. Romans chapter 12 lists a number of the spiritual gifts that are given through the Holy Spirit. One of those is the spiritual gift of exhortation or encouragement. That's what the word means. Romans 12:8, if a man's gift is encouraging, let him encourage. It says, if that's your gift, do it. He says that with all of them, by the way. He says, if your spiritual gift is teaching, teach. If your spiritual gift is giving, give. If your spiritual gift is encouraging, then encourage. Encourage. When I was a young Christian, some older Christians came alongside, and they helped me, you know, look through the list of spiritual gifts and pray through things and to try to, so I could try to discern, what spiritual gifts have you given me, God? What special things can I do only through your Spirit that I would never be able to do on my own? And I came to learn and understand that God has given me gifts of teaching and leadership and encouragement. Those are my three spiritual gifts. And I love teaching, and I love leading, but I got to tell you, my favorite gift of all is encouraging. I love encouraging people. I love coming alongside people to help them. I love encouraging other people to love God and to follow Christ and to grow in their faith and to hang in there and to trust God because he is there for you always, always. But whether you have the spiritual gift of encouragement or not, you have other gifts, and God uses the whole body to encourage and to strengthen each other in the church. And he uses all the gifts of the body to do this. As believers, we all have the Holy Spirit, we all have spiritual gifts, and so we can all come alongside each other to help and encourage each other in the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit uses each one of us, the whole body of Christ, to encourage each other in our faith. Finally, what are the results? What are the results when we are encouraged by the Holy Spirit in this way? I'll give you three. They're all in your outline. We are strengthened in the Lord. That's number one. We draw closer to God. And then we reach out to others. And we see all of that back in our verse that we started with, Acts 9:31. We'll end where we began. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened. There's our first one. And encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. So let's see this. As the church was encouraged by the Holy Spirit, what happened? Well, the body was strengthened and built up. That's the first result. The body of Christ is going to be strengthened in the Lord. And then what happened? They drew closer to God, walking in the fear of the Lord, walking in God's presence, walking in the knowledge of God, being aware of God throughout the day and living accordingly, drawing closer to God. That's the second thing that happens. And then thirdly, we reach out to others, and that's what happened for them as well. They grew in numbers as they reached out to other people with God's comfort and love. As they were comforted and encouraged by God's Spirit, they wanted to share it with as many people as possible and say, you've got to know Jesus. You've got to know Jesus. What a difference he'll make in your life. What a difference he's made in mine. So don't let the world get you down this morning. Don't be discouraged by circumstances or failures. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Exalted to the right hand of God the Father Almighty, he has sent the Holy Spirit to be with you forever. And so you and I can be encouraged this morning. And then think of it not just personally, but think of it corporately as well. Pray that these words of Acts 9:31, that they may also be true of our church body right here in Plantation as well, that we will enjoy peace as a congregation, that we will be strengthened, that as we are encouraged by the Holy Spirit, we will grow in numbers as we reach out to others, living in the fear of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Well, dear Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the encouragement of this verse tucked away in the book of Acts. It'd be easy to just read right past it. But Lord, I thank you that we were able to take some time and slow down and see what you are saying to us. Lord, I know there are a number of people who are just, they're hurting this morning. The sun is beating down on them and it is brutal. And Lord, they need the breezes of your Holy Spirit to blow on them, to cool them down, to give them strength to keep on going. And Lord, I know that you will do that. You've promised to do that. Lord, thank you for the encouragement you give us by your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we praise you this morning. You are a wonderful person of God. And we invite you into our lives. We ask that you would fill us. We often pray that at the beginning of a service, fill us with your Holy Spirit that we might worship you. Lord, I pray that now, fill us with your Holy Spirit as we leave this morning, that we may go forth walking with you, encouraged by you and encouraging others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.